Sometimes we treat God as though we were at a board meeting, all of us sort of equal.
Missionary Jim Elliot said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." What sacrifices are you and I willing to make for what we believe? Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, calling us to put our plans in the hands of our loving Heavenly Father. Here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about holiness. I believe with all my heart that holiness needs no special conditions. Holiness needs no special conditions. Do you imagine that you might be a holy person if you had a better husband, a better job, better health, more obedient, respectful children, a new set of furniture, maybe? No, I don't suppose there's anybody out there quite so silly as to think that a new set of furniture would make him any holier, but you might think, well, I sure would be a lot happier. You can't be really holy and not be happy. And true happiness is inseparable from holiness. We don't need any changes in our situation in order to make us holy. What we need is a change in attitude. Yesterday I spoke about antagonism to God as being incompatible with holiness. Now, it's not up to you and me to assess how holy we are. We can't be always sitting around taking our spiritual pulse or our spiritual heartbeat and thinking, well, I'm a little bit holier today than I was yesterday. But we should be able to see a certain measure of progress. Holiness is a hidden thing, hidden from the individual himself. And the holier we are, the less self-conscious we'll be. Jesus in Nazareth lived a hidden life for 30 years. We know next to nothing about his life until he was 30 years old. What was happening during all those hidden years? What about the thousands of saints that you and I are never going to hear the names of until we get to heaven? Thousands of people who have lived quiet, hidden, holy lives. Holiness progresses slowly in most of us, very slowly. And yet it is with deliberate speed and according to the pace of God. We have to be patient. We have to learn to wait on the Lord. We have to accept simply and humbly the progress that we do make without making a big deal out of it, without complaining to God because we're not moving at a faster pace. What stands in our way most often prevents our coming directly to God and receiving His gifts of holiness? I believe it's a lack of simplicity. Jesus set a little child in the middle of the crowd when they were talking about these things, and he said, "You will never get into the kingdom of heaven until you become like this little child." And certainly one characteristic of a little child is simplicity. The child looks at you with a simple, straightforward, unflinching gaze. There are no schemes in the back of his mind. He is ingenuous. He is what he is. And as we grow, we lose that simplicity, don't we? We become manipulators, schemers, calculating, sly. We could go on and on. Our lives, most of us, are too complicated. We are too complicated. We're not childlike. What are the obstacles to simplicity? Well, one of them is bargaining, making deals with God. Well, God, if you're up there, then do this for me. If you do this for me, then I'll do that for you. Who of us hasn't at some time or other made some kind of a bargain with God? I remember hearing a lot of bargaining stories during World War II, men who were in desperate situations in the war saying, "Lord, get me out of this, and I'll serve you for the rest of my life." How many have carried out their promises in the deals that they've made with God? We'll have an arrangement convenient for both of us, God. It's a form of diplomacy, isn't it? Well, that doesn't work with God. We have to be a whole lot simpler than that. We can't say what the girl said to me, "Well, would it be okay if I told the Lord that I'd go to the mission field if he would give me a husband first?" And I had to say, "No, I really don't think so, because you're not in a bargaining position with God. He is the master. He is the commanding officer. It's not for you to have input. It's simply for you to accept the orders as the orders are given." So in addition to a lack of simplicity, another obstacle to our childlikeness is petulance. We are insolent, impertinent, peevish, capriciously fretful. That's what the dictionary says petulance means. Mad at God. I was having lunch with a friend one day, and she says, "Do you think God will be mad at me if I get a facelift?" And I thought, what a strange question. What a hilariously funny question. And I said, "Well, I really don't think God is going to be mad at you about anything, because God loves you. God certainly hates some of the things we do, but I have no idea whether God wants you to get a facelift or not. That's for you to sort out with God." But when we get petulant, we are being childish. We are not being childlike. And there are things about children that we do not want to emulate, but there are things which we do. And I think when Jesus said that we must become like a little child in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven, one of the things he was thinking about is simplicity, and one of the things is acceptance, just accepting what he gives us. When we get sullen and sulky and decide, "Well, Lord, since you did that to me, or you allowed that to happen to me, I'm just not going to speak to you for a while." That's the opposite of humility, when we should be turning to him in sweetness and frankness and trust, when we should be taking our punishments in perfect simplicity. A third obstacle to coming to God is self-interest. Fear that God is going to do us in. So we have to look out for our own interests. We don't want to risk too much. And we insist on tangible assurance that everything is okay. God is saying, "Trust me. Do you really think I'm going to do you in? Are you afraid to say, 'Lord, I want your will'? What is it you think I'm going to do to you? I love you." God is love. A fourth obstacle to our simplicity and childlikeness is affectation. Trying to pose as being more than we are, or as being less than we are. You know, there are many kinds of pride, and one of them is trying to make out that we're much more than we really are, or that we know more than we know. And the reverse form, which is also pride, is saying, "Oh, well, I really can't do anything," or "I'm nobody," and protesting in a way that is an invitation to the listeners to say, "Oh, yes, you are. You're really wonderful." You know, we're just fishing for compliments. That's affectation. Pride, false humility, not having a sane estimate of our own capability, which is one of the things that the Bible says we should have, a sane estimate of our own capability. That means not underestimating and not overestimating. Do not cherish exaggerated ideas of your own importance, the Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans. The world today is constantly encouraging us to cherish exaggerated ideas of our own importance, but let's be realists. It's a terrible waste of God's time and ours It's not walking before him in spirit and in truth. Sometimes we treat God as though we were at a board meeting, all of us sort of equal, all of us sitting around a big table networking and interacting and interfacing. That is not our position with God. Think instead of the manger, that rude stable where Jesus was born. Think of the little humble house in Nazareth where his parents lived. Think of the carpenter shop. He who holds us and sustains in his hands our breath every moment, we so often forget that he humbled himself. He became not just a little child, but an infant. He grew up in an ordinary, humble village house. He worked with hammer and nails and wood in a carpenter shop, we suppose. We so often mistake what we think great and high for what really is. There's a lot of sham in us as opposed to reality. God in heaven came in lowliness, meekness, gentleness, humility. Should we not seek simple, laborious work with no show about it? I find that the simpler, the more laborious the work is, the more it rests my soul and allows me to think about God. Think about these things, will you? Holiness needs no peculiar conditions. You can learn to be holy right where you are.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliot has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.